is the saints of God one with another by our presence. Home church doesn't do that. You say, Pastor, you're mean. No, I'm not mean. Listen to me. Apathy, this idea here, David gets all by himself and he gets discouraged. What happened to Elijah when he outran, he left his servant, and he came and he sat under a juniper tree, was all by himself, and listen, he said, I wish I was dead. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me and listen well as your pastor. We need one another. We need one another. Here David is in that cave and he says those pathetic words in verse number 4. And listen, the Bible is truth. David here is telling us truth, the Holy Spirit inspiring him to write, I looked on my right hand and I beheld and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Ladies and gentlemen, the America of today is much different than the America 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. It used to be that even strangers cared about one another. I grew up in a wonderful neighborhood. Pray, if you would, for my mother and folks in that area today. They are in the eye of the hurricane. Literally, in the eye. Supposed to get in her area today 6 to 10 inches of rain this afternoon. Just imagine that. But I grew up in the neighborhood I grew up in. Listen, neighbors loved one another. Neighbors cared about one another. I'll never forget the time we had 36 inches of snow fall within a 2-day period. I think I was 19 years old. And I don't care how big your shovel is when you're 19. 36 inches is just hard to move. Amen. I remember sitting there, Mr. Jordan, I would take it and shovel it and I would throw it up and it would go, come back down. I said, and our neighbor came over. I don't know what kind it was. I don't know anything about it. I used to call it the Harley Hog snowblower, Brother Lawley. He got on that thing and he put both in and that thing was about 6-foot bucket and went over and did our whole driveway. Why? Because he cared. Because he cared. You see, lack of caring and compassion is the result of a general coldness towards spiritual things. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, we live in an America that has had, in the last, I would say, 30 years especially. 35 years ago, the number one television program was the Andy Griffith Show. A good, wholesome program that anybody could watch. But you know, nowadays in the afternoon, God help you if you watch television in the afternoon, even on the regular stations, you've got Cold Case this and Sexual Victims this and Jerry Springer, God help you. Amen. But listen, there's been a gradual desensitization through the effect of television. And I'll tell you what's happened. It's brought to pass that verse that's meant for the tribulation, but we can certainly see it now in Matthew 24, verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Does anybody care? David here says, no man cared for my soul. He said there was a general apathy. Not one person cared for me. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we had our red, white, and blue Sunday last week. It was an expensive Sunday. We spent right around $3,000 to bring Brother Gary in and have a great Sunday. And we had 217 people in the morning and we had 230 people in the afternoon. You say, what's one of the purposes? Obviously, you know me. The main purpose is that people would hear and know Jesus Christ. But the other purpose is those men right there that were sitting up there, those veterans, would know that there's a church that cares. Does anybody care? Does anybody care? Our message today is, who cares? Who cares? I've got 7 points today. My friend John Hamlin calls me a porcupine preacher. He said, you got more points than a porcupine. You're supposed to have 3 points in a poem, like Gary said. Amen. I just can't suffer it, Uncle Joe. Sometimes it's 3 points, sometimes it's 25 commandments for the Christian home. Amen. 7 points. Who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. The Father cares. The Father cares. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, our Father cares. God Himself cares. Romans 5:8 tells us how much He cares. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Father cared enough to plan your salvation. I was talking to one of our teammates on the Nets, and yesterday we had Nets softball. We left here at 8:30 a.m. We got back here at 11:45 midnight. 33 men professed faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for praying. By the way, Brother Tom, I don't know anywhere else you could go in the country and do 12 and a half hours of visitation and get that many men or women to be saved. Amen. And so we came back. But on the way, one of the teammates and I, we were discussing how wonderful God is. And we do that all the time when we travel. We have such great fellowship. And we got to talking about it. And listen, God the Father planned your salvation before the world ever was, the Bible tells us. It said, but through the foreknowledge of God, before the world ever existed, He planned out your salvation. You know what else shows that the Father cares? Not only that He planned for our salvation, but that He provided for our salvation. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, today, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope of heaven. I don't say that to be mean-spirited. I don't say that to be narrow. I say that because it's truth. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? As they got ready, God had told Abraham what He wanted him to do. And don't you admire Abraham's faith? He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him up Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to Me. I don't know about you, folks. I don't know if I would have had Abraham's faith when my little boy was born. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Eric, and take him up that mountain. But you see, Abraham believed God. You say, how do you know? See, God told him He was going to bring forth like the sand of the sea through Isaac. And so when you go and you read Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Abraham knew that if he plunged that knife into Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. That's faith in the Word of God right there. But you remember, as they were walking, Isaac said to his father, he said, Father, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And what did he say? God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Aren't you glad God provided a sacrifice? Why? Because listen, like that debtor in Matthew chapter 18 who owed a debt of 10,000 talents that he could never pay, you and I owe a debt, our sin debt, that we could never pay. Live 1,000 lifetimes and you'd never get it paid off, because the wages of sin is death. But the Father cares. He cares enough to plan our salvation. He cares enough to provide for our salvation. You know what else He cares enough? He cares enough to protect our salvation. I look out there and I see Brooks, a new convert. And what a blessing. Brooks, I appreciate your faithfulness. Amen, church. Coming and being and listening to the services. Listen, when it comes to your salvation, Brooks, you don't have anything to worry about. God's got you. Amen. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by their own good works. Must be one of those new versions, Brother Tom. I'll tell you what it says. It says, who are kept by the power of God. No way. I was talking to someone who's struggling with the doctrine of eternal security. They really are. They want to know truth. And I appreciate it. Listen, if you want to know truth, it's available. Amen. But they're struggling at that, and they were saying, going, and just bringing up these arguments and not arguing, amen, not debating, just saying, well, what about this, what about this? And I said to them, I said, listen, if you get real salvation, you're kept by the power of God. Spurgeon said, if sheep of God could fall astray, I'd be lost 10,000 times a day. And to that I say, amen, amen, and amen. But you know what? You're kept by the power of God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Father cares. No man cared for my soul. Who cares? The Father cares. Number two, and I think you know where this outline's going. The Son cares. Jesus Christ cares. See, He cared enough to leave heaven and be your Savior. Amen. The one who was adored by every angelic being that He ever created. The one that they would fly by and say, there He is, holy, holy, holy. Left heaven and was born in a stable in Bethlehem. Why, Pastor? Because He cares. Because He cares. See, He not only left heaven to be your Savior, and that shows He cares, but something else, He lived a perfect life and was your sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Brother Eppley, those times that I've had a spiritual battle and I've given in to sin. By the way, I've had them. You don't have to say amen, but I know you have too. You have flesh. Those times that I'd given in, I did something like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I know I shouldn't do, I do. Jesus never did that. Satan came and tempted Him after 40 days of hunger, and He said, hey, if you're really the Son of God, you could make these bread stones. And He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then the devil got a little smarter and said, hey, I'm going to use the word of God against him. He said, hey, you're up on this pinnacle. Throw yourself down if you're really the Son of God, because the angels will come and take care of you. And again, Jesus used the word of God. Said, no, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then another time, the devil brought Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all these will I give to you if thou wilt fall down and worship Me. And listen, knowing your Bible, you have to laugh when you hear that. They were already His. But what did He say? Get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God and Him alone. What did He do? He endured every temptation. He endured hunger. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And He bled and died on the cross as our sacrifice. He did that. He came and John the Baptist looked at Him. He was baptizing in the Jordan River. And He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Why did He do that? You know, the song goes, He could have called 10,000 angels. But He died alone for you and me. He left heaven to be our Savior. It shows He cares. He lived perfect to be our sacrifice. It shows He cares. And you know what? He laid down His life as our substitute. And that shows He cares. He said, I lay my life down, no man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. You see, Brother Kelly, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was His love. He cares. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are times in life when it seems like nobody cares. Listen, if I could just indulge me for a moment. Brother Wally is going through a difficult time. Fear. You say, oh no. Shouldn't be going through fear. He's got faith. Yeah. If you're visiting from heaven today, that could be you. But we all have fear. And when you hear the news that he's heard, it's fearful. And Brother Wally, I promise you that there are people in this room that care about you. But even if nobody else did, the Father cares. And the Son cares. You know, the Bible says that when there was 100 sheep and there was 99 and one went off into the wilderness, the shepherd went off and got it. Why? Because he cares. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. The Father cares. The Son cares. The Spirit cares. Number three. The Spirit cares. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Spirit cared enough to come to you. Have you ever thought about that, ladies and gentlemen? You know, the Bible still says no man can call Jesus Lord except the Spirit draw him. Listen, I'm not a Calvinist, and that's not a Calvinist verse. It just means, listen, there has to come a point where the Spirit of God comes to you and works in your heart. Now, praise God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. Where the Word of God is, the Spirit of God is. Amen. But does it not just absolutely baffle and amaze you that He would come to you? Brother Holy, I've heard your testimony. Having a heart attack. December 7th, 1970. The Holy Spirit of God came to you. And listen, we were given testimony. We had such a great Thursday night service. Boy, I feel bad if you missed it. Amen. The message was good. You can get the CD. But we started testifying. Amen. We started just having a time. People started talking about that day that they got saved or that year or that month or whatever. Every one of them, listen, you had a personal experience with the Spirit of God. He came to you. Not only did He come to you, and that shows He cares, but He convicted you. And that shows He cares. Listen to me. And I mean this. There are preachers that don't believe this. I don't care. Nobody gets saved without conviction. You have to be convicted of your sin and your need to be saved. And I praise God for the day the Holy Spirit convicted me. Oh, He weighed on me about my sin and my eternity and where I was going to go. And He did the same for you if you're saved. Hey, He cares. The Spirit cares. He came to you. He convicted you. He called you to the Savior. He said, come. Come. Come to heaven. Come. Come to the one who can forgive you of all your sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. He does that office work. And listen, He cares. He cares for you. The Spirit cares. The Son cares. The Father cares. Can I tell you this, friend? If you're here today without Christ, the church cares. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? That's the church. Bride of Christ. You see, the church cares enough to have comfortable services. Aren't you glad it's comfortable in here today? I've been in this auditorium sometimes in the summer during the day when we don't have any service. We had that heat wave. I walked in the auditorium at 8 a.m. and I looked at the thermostat and it said 91 degrees. How about we just leave it like that? No, the church cares. The church cares to provide comfortable services. The church cares not only that, but to provide a convenient schedule where you can come and hear the Word of God. Aren't you glad we don't have service at Monday at 10 a.m.? I'm glad. I'd see four of you. Amen. We're with you, Pastor. Amen. No, the church cares to have convenient schedule. A Sunday morning, Sunday night, a midweek time where you can refresh yourself with the people of God and the Word of God and prayer. Something else. The church cares because of the compassionate sounding of the gospel. Honestly, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a social gospel church. Not a nickel. Because listen, feeding a man doesn't save him. Amen. Listen, I'm all for helping. I really am. I'm all for helping people and providing and helping out things like that. And by the way, Jesus, before he preached to some people, he fed them. Because it didn't do any good to preach to them and tell them about their need of the Savior if their stomach was growling. They didn't have any food. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the church cares and it's compassionate sounding of the gospel. I think of our blessed Sunday school teachers. I think of our bus workers. I think of those of you that take part in a ministry here. Why? Because we compassionately sound out that people need the Lord. Amen. What's it show? The church cares. Something else about the church and proves that she cares is concerned servants. I think about the folks that go out and go to a complete stranger's door and say, "We're from Loomis Park Baptist Church. We'd love to have you come visit our church. Here's the schedule of our services. By the way, if you were to pass away today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And if not, could I show you?" Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's the heartbeat of a church. It shows that we care. It shows that our church cares about people. Yesterday we went in and with the inmates, and listen, every time I pray in there, I get choked up. I just do. I don't know why that is. For some reason, I just get choked up because I always think, Brother Merrill, as I think of their moms, and I think of their children, and I think of their wives. And the next thing you know, I'm praying, and my tone goes way down, Brother David. I don't have you there to mic me up. And I almost can't get it out. Why? Because I want them to know that we care. Amen. We care. The church cares. The Spirit cares. The Son cares. The Father cares. Can I tell you this? The saints in heaven care. I'm glad you sang that song, Brother Eric, right along with this point. You know, the Bible says there's rejoicing where? In over one sinner that repenteth. You know what that tells me? Up in heaven, they care when somebody gets saved. They care about you. They care about me. They care about that lost one, that sheep that's gone astray. They care up in heaven. The Bible says the angels desire to look into things. What's going on down there? Listen, the saints in heaven care. I think Abraham cares when somebody gets saved. I think old Isaac cares when somebody gets saved. I think Daniel cares when somebody gets saved, and Isaiah and all those prophets of old and all those. And can I say this? Your family that's in heaven, they care. They care. They're part of that great cloud of witnesses. Your friends that are in heaven, they care. Can I say this? Ooh, this one's even hard to even say. Did you know we had some foes on earth that are now in heaven that care? You see, maybe people we spiritually battled with and they got to their deathbed and they trusted Christ. And we had no idea, but they care. See, if the saints in heaven care, and the church cares, and the Spirit cares, and the Son cares, and the Father cares, can I tell you, number six, who else cares? The souls that are bound in hell for all eternity care. You say, where do you get that, Pastor? Luke chapter 16 is the only chapter of the Word of God where God literally, if we could say, unscrews the lid off hell and shows us some things about it. What does He show us? He shows us Lazarus in the bosom of the Father, a beggar that laid at the gate of a rich man. And by the way, he wasn't in heaven. He wasn't in paradise because he was a beggar. He wasn't in paradise because of what he had or didn't have. He was in paradise because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And the rich man, conversely, we find him in that place called hell. And he's not in hell because he's rich. He's in hell because he denied Jesus Christ. And what does he say that shows he cares? I'll tell you what he says. He says, Brother Pipko, I have 5 brothers. Send somebody. Send somebody to them. Lest they come to this awful place of torment. You know, there's people in hell right now that care sometimes more than we do. It's okay. It's a good spot for a silent. Because you know what I say to that? Oh me, if I don't care. You see, the people in hell, they care so much, they beg the Father to send someone. And the Father says, there's a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell for all eternity. And what you do with Jesus here on earth determines which place you spend for all eternity. I want to tell you, the Father cares. The Son cares. The Spirit cares. The church cares. The saints in heaven care. The souls in hell care. My last point, number 7, is a question. Do you care? Do you care? Do you care about that spouse that's unsaved? Do you care about that child that is lost? I have 2 young children right now. I want them to be saved early. But what I want is not necessarily maybe what God wants. Maybe they'll be saved later in life. I don't know. But I want to tell you this. I want to care where they spend all eternity. I was so glad to hear when Brother and Sister Lawley's twins got saved recently. What a weight off you. Amen? If you care. If you care. How about that friend of yours? Do you care? How about your neighbor that maybe even gives you a hard time? Do you care? Do you care? That schoolmate. Do you care enough? And let me just end with these 3 things. Do you care enough to conquer your fear and speak to them? I don't know about you. Listen, I say this. It's partially true, partially. I speak for a living. Amen. I preach the Word of God. I'm not a public speaker and make money or anything like that, but you pay me to preach and study and all that. Do you know it's still a fearful thing to go up to somebody and tell them about Christ? Can I say this? For whatever reason, the devil puts even more fear in with our family and our friends. Why is that? Because he knows if he can keep us bound by fear and keep our mouths closed, that the verse that Brother Sammons had up during Sunday school would be completely true. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Do you care enough to conquer your fear? Do you care enough that it moves you to tears? The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Let me ask you a question, and please, it's a convicting question. This week, I wept more this week than any week in a long time. And I didn't have any great tragedy come into my life. I believe the Lord was just working on me. When's the last time you wept over somebody's lost soul? Ask yourself that. Please, I'm not pointing. By the way, every time I point one at you, I got three pointing right back at me. When's the last time you wept over somebody's lost soul? If not, and listen, I know not everybody's a crier, not everybody's a weeper. There are some people you talk to, as soon as you talk to them, they start crying. Other people are just more hard-shelled. I understand that. But when's the last time you cared where it moved you to tears? I'll never forget a message I heard by a preacher. It was on hell in the lake of fire. And I got so moved in that service because my dad was lost. And he was lost till the very last day of his life when he trusted Christ. But he was lost. And I just, Brother Simmons, I couldn't wait for the service to end. I just couldn't wait to hit the altar. I almost hit it in the middle of the service. By the way, if the Spirit of God ever tells you to do that, you go ahead and do it. It won't offend me and it won't offend us. And that preacher said, bow your heads, close your eyes, and I went right to the altar. And I began to cry out to God, God, my daddy's lost. He's going to hell. God, would you please save him? And as I did, the tears hot began to roll down my cheek. And by the way, another sidebar, when God rolls hot tears down your cheek, there's no need to break out a tissue. You just let Him go ahead and stain your blouse or suit. It'll be okay. Let Him flow. And I got down and for literally 5, 10, 15 minutes was praying and crying out to God because my daddy was lost! Can I say this honestly? I've not always had that burden, but I know I should. And it's not just for preachers. It's for Christians. Do you care enough to get over your fear? Do you care enough that it moves you to tears? Do you care enough that it'll motivate you to tell them? The Father cares. Amen. Aren't you glad He does? The Son cares. The Spirit of God cares. Church cares. Saints in heaven care. The souls in hell care. The question is, do you care? Who cares? No man cared for my soul. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes this morning.